I imagine, I was looking up some quotes about worship, because that's what our theme is all about, and Isaiah says it very loud and clear. Why are you worshiping? I don't need your worship or your sacrifices. So I found a couple of interesting quotes. Perhaps the most lasting pleasure in life is the pleasure of not going to church. I imagine Joel might be saying that a few times over his several Sundays away, which is no reflection on the church, of course. And by the way, the person who said that was William Ing, who was the dean of St. Paul's Cathedral. Another one, every day people are staying away from the church and going back to God. Anybody have any idea who said that? I mean, this is out of the blue, of course, but that was Lenny Bruce, who was quite a character and often a critic of the church and religious people, in quotes. Either way, I'm glad that you didn't listen to those people and that you're here. It's good to have you with us. I want to acknowledge also that I owe a great deal of what's going to happen during this brief period of time to one of my favorite preachers who lives in Australia, Nathan Nettleton. He posts on a website called Laughing Bird, which is a very interesting website if you want to check it out once in a while. So I owe a great deal of thanks to Nathan and to Frederick Buechner, who he uses in his reflections on the scriptures that we're working with, and of course to Jim and Shannon, who graciously consented to help me out this morning. In Nathan's sermon, he quotes Frederick Buechner, who some of you may know. Frederick Buechner is a very well-known minister who many of us preachers have gone back to every now and then for a little bit of help. Buechner says, there are basically two ways to worship God. One of those is doing things for God that God needs to have done. Because, as many of you know, we are God's hands and feet in this world. God's not here in person, at least in any way that we can see, feel, or touch God, and doesn't do things for us, but helps us to do things for Him that need to be done to make this world a better place for people. Things like what Alex Roach is doing with our immigrants. Things that Mary Weed and all her volunteers do here in St. Joe's Kitchen and at the food pantry. And so many of you do in your volunteer work in one way or the other, helping to feed the hungry, clothe the naked, visit the sick, help those who are in prison find a way out so they can be one of God's people also, not only in prison, but on the outside, so that they don't have to end up back there again, and so many other things. So, that's one way of worshiping, doing things for God that God needs to have done. The other way is doing things for God that we need to do, that you need to do, like we do here in worship. Like some of the things that Isaiah was talking about in a rather negative kind of way. Sing songs for God. Create beautiful things for God. Tell God what's on your mind and in your heart. Make a fool of yourself for God, the way lovers have always made a fool of themselves for the one they love, and probably still do now and then, once in a while. And if you think back to your adolescent years, when I think back to mine and some of the my high school mates that I fell in love with and some of the things that I did, wow. Anyway. And regarding worship, make sure there is an element of joy and foolishness in how you waste worship And if you don't, you're wasting your time, according to Frederick Buechner. And when I read that, I remembered back in Sheffield, we had a relationship with the Pentecostal Church in Chile, our Massachusetts conference does. So we invited some of the minister and some of their people to come and worship with us in Sheffield. They were coming to visit some of the congregations. And the first time they showed up in worship afterwards at coffee hour, a couple of them came up to me and said, "Boy, your worship is kind of dull. I mean, you don't get up and jump around and dance, and you know, and your singing is like..." Anyway, it really kind of brings you back to say, oh, yeah. And that's what Buechner is talking about. Giving yourselves the freedom to be a little foolish now and then, once in a while. Otherwise, as Buechner says, you're wasting your time. But do we have to choose between the two? That's what we're going to try to answer right now.
Look what I made!
What even is that? I don't know what it is.
It's a tree.
Okay. I made mine at camp. I made mine yesterday, and it's for Mom.
You're gonna give that to Mom?
Yeah, why not?
I'm giving mine to Dad.
Well, I gave him to Dad last week, so like, he's not gonna care that much, because I made this for Mom, and I made Dad a cooler thing than yours last week.
But mine has a popsicle stick. It's the best kind.
But mine has color.
Mine has color.
Mine has more.
Mine has yarn.
Well, mine is shaped like corn, because you can eat corn, and like, Mom loves corn. She loves corn on the cob. She loves corn. Anyway, you can make it cornbread. We made cornbread last week, so she's gonna love mine.
But you can eat trees. Trees make apples.
That's true. But mine is still better. Don't you understand that?
No, it's not.
Yes, it is.
Mine, they're gonna like mine better because it's got yarn too. See, it moves around.
I don't care what yours has. It's stupid.
Whoa, it's stupid. I mean, you're here in worship in church and you're using words like stupid? And you know, and I don't get it. Why do you have to kind of fight with each other over something that you made that, you know, in each in its own way is kind of a wonderful little thing? And, you know, you don't have to make your parents choose between it, do you?
I guess I'm just worried that, like, if they like his, then they won't like mine too.
But yours is good. It's got, let's see. It's got yellow fluffy things on the top.
Fluffy's good.
Fluffy's good. Yeah, I got fluffy too. Wait, there, see?
Yeah.
I got yarn fluffy.
It's true, we're both fluffy.
All right, well, I'll tell you what. Why don't we both give them to both Mom and Dad?
Okay.
And then they don't have to decide which one they like better. They can like both of them.
Maybe they can put them up together.
Hey, wait a minute.
Aww.
How about that?
Oh, you guys, now see, doesn't that feel a whole lot better? And you know, maybe we can end up with you two instead of fighting with each other. You might even want to give each other a hug.
But she's my sister. I don't want to hug her.
I know.
But I suppose.
Okay. I'm glad we're not fighting anymore.
Okay.
So having a little bit of fun and a little bit of foolishness at worship really isn't such a bad thing, because sometimes by doing that we can make a point that you know, you can't make by having a preacher just stand up and talk and shout at you for 15 or 20 minutes. And that was Buechner's point. And the point of, and the answer perhaps, as to why do we worship? Why spend an hour or so here at church on Sunday morning doing what? Not what God needs us to do, but what we need to do for God. And again, Buechner has the best answer that I've heard. This strange and seemingly wasteful activity of giving up an hour or so on Sunday to spend in apparent foolishness may have no obvious or direct benefit to the world or to anybody in it, But if it is not just a smokescreen to hide corrupt lies behind, then perhaps it is related to our ability to become the agents of justice and mercy and love that God needs us to be in exactly the same way as these two characters, making and giving of their strange objects, will help them to grow into the warm-hearted and generous people that God needs in this world of ours. And if that's the case, then I would suggest that we stand up and do what we need to do with all the uninhibited love and foolishness that we can possibly muster. Because here in church is how that happens when we do that. Because eventually these two people, young people, will grow up, as Alex has and so many of our children, reflecting back on their days in church and become like so many of our young people have, and so many of you have, the most generous, loving, and kind people in the world, which, as we all know, in this day and age, we so desperately need. Amen.